say, democracy, you know, like monogamy, it's shit. Until you experience the alternative, you've got a big task ahead of you, but I've got faith in you, Claire, and everyone in this room does. So, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it. My name's Nellie Thomas, and I have loved being here tonight. Thanks, and I will see you again some other time.
All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. Now, you're on the debrief with Dave O'Neill here in my car with the great Nellie Thomas and her friend Amy in the back.
Hello.
Yeah, say hello, Amy. Apparently, Amy doesn't listen to podcasts, but her husband's a big podcaster.
Yeah. So. She might listen.
She might listen to hear herself.
That's it. And then she might get hooked on podcasts.
Just go, I love this, you know, people just talking rubbish. It's awesome.
There's not enough of that in the world.
But, Nellie, so you've been doing comedy. Let's see. Now, you won Raw, didn't you? You won...
God, you've got a good memory.
Yeah, I remember you won Raw because I remember talking to you backstage at the Hi-Fi.
Yeah, 2002.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a little while ago. Hang on. I think it was 2003. I started in 2002, yeah.
And then did your life change, like when you won Raw? How long have you been in comedy before that?
Not at all. So before that I worked in welfare.
Yeah.
And the long story short is that I was 28, which, you know, in comedy terms is quite old, really,
Yeah. Most people start under 30.
People start, and a lot of people start even late teens, early 20s.
These days because of class clowns and all that. Yeah.
So, I mean, I had been in sort of policy and also hands-on roles, sort of a mixture, and I, you know, got a bit burnt out and thought, no, I can write, like I'll go and be a freelance writer. You know what, you think that's all going to be easy.
Yeah, that's really good money in that.
Yeah, it's great, and I'll buy myself a house and it'll all be fantastic. And I went along to a forum called Geez Louise Funny Women's Forum.
Oh, yeah. They do that every year in the Comedy Festival.
Yeah, that Linda Hagger started. And I thought it was for comedy writers and, you know, for people who wanted to, like, write a sitcom or, you know, I'll just write a sitcom.
Yeah.
And, like, then I'll be famous.
It'll be easy.
Like, it'll be...
Just send it to Channel 10.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't put a return envelope in there.
I'd already cast it.
Yeah, I'll just turn it on TV. My sitcom will be on.
And there I'll be. It'll be like Prisoner.
That's funny, isn't it? When you think back to... I didn't even know how to set out a script. I sent in paragraphs to Channel 10.
Oh, totally.
Like, man walks into a shop. He says to the person, you know, blah, blah.
I'd send a CV.
Yeah.
Go, look, see, I can lay out a CV. I could write a sitcom.
Oh, funny. And so you went to that and then...
I went to that and then... worked out pretty quickly. It was a 2-day thing, and within the first hour I kind of went, oh, this isn't for writing sitcoms, this is for stand-up comedy. And I had a chat to Linda Hagger and said, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm gonna go. And she's like, look, you're here now, you may as well have a go. And I don't know why, I guess it was just a moment in time in my life, and I just thought, oh, well, fuck it, I might as well just have a go.
Yeah, have a crack.
And so I wrote 5 minutes, because we had to do we didn't have to, but we were invited to do a performance the next day, and it was in the peak of Big Brother, so I wrote whole thing.
First series,
you know, Sarah Michelle, all of that stuff.
Ben.
Yeah. So I wrote a
Blair
thing where I connected Big Brother to refugees.
Oh, wow.
And I just, like, to refugee policy, God knows how that worked.
You're political from a very early age.
Oh, my God. Well, I had been working welfare, you know, so.
Yeah. What did that routine go? I used to do a joke about how the guy that did the voice didn't sound very scary.
I remember that routine.
Yeah, it was like he's doing an announcement of David Jones.
Oh, totally.
This is Big Brother. There's an underwear special in aisle 5.
Yeah, that's right. Can I have some bonds?
Because he didn't sound like my Big Brother, my scary older brother.
No.
Yeah.
No.
On Murray Road, thanks, Dave.
Where are we going? Sorry, we've got Amy's tell me right straight ahead or?
Left
here?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, this is the worst taxi driver ever.
You have not got a career in Uber. That's for sure. I ended up staying. So I wrote this thing, did it the next day at, you know, there was a showcase for anyone who hadn't had a go. And then I got booked to do a gig from that. And then someone said to me, why don't you go in Raw Comedy? And I mean, it sounds fanciful, but it was just bizarre. Like, I did the first heat and won, and did the state final and won, and then did the grand final.
And you won. Yeah, it's amazing.
So,
and you entered in Victoria, which in is Victoria, the hardest state because there's so many comics. Now, and then, where are we going here? Straight ahead or left? Right.
Straight.
Straight.
And so, literally, having never even considered, I don't even remember seeing a live stand-up show. And then within, you know, a few months, because the prize for Raw, of course, is going to Edinburgh, I was in Edinburgh doing a show.
That's fantastic, so, isn't it?
And then I've just stayed in it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. What else am I going to do, Dave?
Well, hey? this is the thing. I mean, we've just been past Preston Market. Do you get a job
there? I could get a job, fruit and veg aisle.
Do you guys go to the Preston Market?
If I can be bothered.
Yeah. Is it a big effort or...?
It's not as big as effort as I make it out to be, but it feels like a bigger effort. Like, it's always that, it's that constant struggle, isn't it, with all decisions in life between going, maybe this is just a metaphor for life, isn't it? Should I go to Preston Markets and do the right thing, or can I go to Woolworths for 10 minutes?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You
know? Sometimes Preston Market wins.
Of course. If you've got the time, a market is great.
Or they have better cheese.
Yeah, yeah, better dips probably. Do you go Amy better. Or not? Do you go Amy?
Yeah, we used to more.
Yeah.
And then it's like about maintaining the relationships down there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's maintaining the relationships.
It is.
You feel guilty.
You do.
Oh, yeah, they give you the, I haven't seen you for a while.
They do. They ask you where you've been.
And if you don't buy too much, it's like suspicion.
Yeah. You know what I don't like? Where else? I shop and the fruit shop gives you a bag with their name on it. Oh, and then I go to the other fruit shop and they stare at you. You're like, oh, I don't go in there all the time. I'm not that loyal to
them. I had one woman at the fruit shop, actually, because I hadn't been for ages, because Woolworths was winning for a little while.
Yeah, it was winning.
And she asked if I'd been sick. And then I felt like I had to make up some story that I'd been away.
Well, I always say because I'm a comedian, oh, I've been away, I've been on tour.
Yeah, oh, my God.
One night I was in Mildura.
Yeah, that's...
It's a long way.
I haven't seen you for a while.
But they had some good cherries.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's definitely better. It's better quality. Oh, who cares? Why are we talking about that?
No. It's good to talk about markets.
Okay.
It's good to talk about markets and your career. But see, it's interesting because you came from a welfare policy background.
Yeah.
You've always been quite political and you do a lot of work in that area still, like in health, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Well, I think I...
You combine health and comedy.
I have. I've been able to combine, I mean, I guess my interests. I think initially, I don't know if you were the same, but initially you try and be everything to everyone. Every gig you're offered, regardless of whether you... Desperado.
Desperado, yeah.
And, you know, I think, I personally think that's a mistake.
That's right, Dave.
Whoa, bloody Amy in the back.
Yeah.
She's Taskmaster.
Beyonce. Oh, you missed it.
Oh, is it that one?
You've missed Beyonce's drop off. Oh, no.
So, can I get through this way?
Nah. Yeah.
That is the weirdest low level local shop. What is that, the Cobag
line? Do you want to hear the best story about that turn off, though? So, one of our mutual friends lives close to Amy, and they put some no right turn sign in, so he just keeps turning it round.
Oh,
so there's
fantastic.
Like a standoff between him and the council.
I love it. I was down at Lawn, and some people have got a friend of a friend's got a beach house, and there's a dead end road, and this guy's made a no do not enter, like a homemade sign.
Yeah.
With do not enter no through road.
Yeah.
And then as you go and then you go down there, it's no through road, you turn around, then on the back of the sign he's put, you should go to Specsavers. All these people in Lawn.
Well, this mate of ours, he's an Iranian born, and he's just like, you're not telling me what to do.
Yeah, see, that's...
Like,
I
want to turn right there.
Yeah, so, that annoys me.
Like, I'm covering that sign, or I'm going to move it, or I'm going to...
right or left, Amy?
Right.
Oh, you're the worst director. You're the worst Uber driver, and you're the worst direction giver.
I know.
Well, you know...
I'd be giving directions like three stops back.
Did you get a natural sense of direction?
Did you come along to support Nellie, Amy? You came along to support...
She's got three kids, mate. She gets out of the house whenever she can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How old are the kids?
Four, eight, and ten.
Oh, yeah, you're similar to me. So, yeah, good on you.
She's tired.
Yeah, I saw her falling asleep at the table.
Here we are.
Stop. Now, Dave, the listeners won't be able to understand this, but just have a look at Amy's van in that carport. Seriously, because I laugh every single time. It's a giant VW multivan in the smallest carport you've ever seen.
How do you squeeze that under there? That is fantastic. We've missed a couple of wing mirrors. Oh, my God.
It's literally 1 centimeter clearance.
Are you right? To get out? There's a car behind us.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, that is the funniest thing ever. Got any, Amy? Tune into your own podcast. Thank you.
I wish we could get a photo of that.
That is very funny.
As listeners, there is literally a probably a 1 centimetre clearance.
Did she discover... They didn't put that in, obviously, that car.
No.
But they're just like, do you reckon it's going to fit?
Oh, I reckon they just gave it a crack. They're those kinds of people. They just go, all right, let's just... No, actually, not true. Amy's very organised. She would have measured it.
Left?
I would have just, I would have just driven in and gone, let's see what happens.
Now, did you know, Amy... Before your kids started the same school?
No. So we just one of those, school connections.
Yeah.
Where you know what it's like sometimes.
God, do I know what it's like?
Some people you kind of go, oh goodness me.
Yeah. I was telling someone today I went over to. You know how your kids always make. Sorry, interrupt you.
No, go.
They make friends with the worst kids with the worst parents.
Oh, totally.
I went around to someone.
I'm going to have to sit there through this play date.
Oh man, I went to this. Pick up my son from. A kid's house and they were playing Michael Bublé and they weren't being ironic.
Dave, what's wrong with Michael Bublé? Turn left.
We love the Bublé.
Have we not discussed my musical taste? Because listeners will know that Dave's a massive music snob.
I
literally have Adele and Whitney Houston and Aerosmith on
rotation. Yeah, but I like all those people.
Well, what's Bublé is Adele. He's the Adele male kind of... pop genre.
I did a gig the other night with a Michael Bublé cover band, and I quite liked it.
You've got no leg to stand on. What are you...
up, stay with me. Dun, 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 sway with me. And I was sort of a bit crying before... Yeah, what's that one he sings? You better be home soon? Or it's like a... He sings a ballad. Anyway, so your parents...
Oh, I love a power ballad.
It is funny, with some parents... You just click because someone was interviewing me today for a TV show and they said, and what about friends? What friends do you have? I'm like, well, I've got my comedy friends.
Yeah.
That my peers.
Yeah.
And then I've got the dads at school.
And then old friends.
Yeah, I don't have that. I've got the guys I went to high school with, but I don't see them that often at all.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think it's like gold if you find parents that you really like and your kids get along.
Yes.
Because the other thing I found myself tragically doing was trying to engineer friendships between my kids and the kids whose parents are like.
Yeah, yeah, the more.
And then you go, they don't like each other.
Yeah, yeah,
like, this is about me.
We don't like those kids, Dad.
Yeah, I don't want to play with blah, blah, blah. I don't want to play with Persephone.
Just because their parents like the cure and you like the cure.
That's right. Whereas Amy is one of those fantastic,
I don't know Amy, but I immediately like her.
She's a punk rocker. You know, it's like, come on. She was.
Was she in a band?
Yeah.
What band was she in?
Look, it's not Slut Guts, but it's something like that. You know what I mean? And I remember.
What did she play?
She's the singer, and her now husband was the drummer.
I love it. I may have seen them.
Oh, you would have. I'll find out.
Then again, she's younger than me, so I remember.
She's a lot younger than both of us.
I remember the punk scene when I was young.
Yeah.
And there were punk bands.
I think they were a bit like they toured America.
Oh wow.
And not in that way that comedians tour America where they go on holidays and then toured America. Yeah. They actually did tour America.
Wow.
This car up here just pull up behind that.
Alright, well we'll go for a bit of a drive but we haven't finished yet.
Okay.
I've been to your house before. I have actually been to your house and that's your house there on the corner.
Yeah, on the corner there. We won't give out the address.
Let's freak out your husband and we'll drive past.
Yeah, and just toot toot.
Past.
See, my stupid dogs will go mental if you do that.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, grumpy poodle called Ralph and a stupid labradoodle.
Yeah, right. And so getting back to your health stuff.
Yeah.
You're one of the few comics that doesn't appear to be selfish and self-interested. Because most comics, intrinsically, it's a selfish art form.
But... Well, yes and no. I mean, I think, I do less festivals than I used to because I find...
Yeah. It's hard work.
Well, it's hard work, but also I don't know how, if you manage to do this, but I find I get completely selfish when I do my own show.
I
cannot get out of my own head. You know, it's so stressful and so full on and you're so invested in it. that I can't, I find it really hard to pull myself out and be a human.
Yeah, right, right, right.
So
right,
I imagine...
Right. But that's hard when you've got a family, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And that's why I do less of it. Whereas I find with, you know, with my health gigs or even with corporates, I know a lot of comedians hate corporates. I don't.
I know, I quite like them because, I mean, I do...
Depending on which one it is.
Yeah. And, you know. And look, the good thing about a corporate is that...
Well, you get paid.
You get paid and you turn up.
Yeah.
And you do it and then you go home.
That's right. And whereas a festival thing's a whole different...
Oh, it's a big investment. It's a whole kind of scenario. Thing.
But also, I mean, I don't know. This might be getting a bit bloody, you know, ooga booga. But I sort of think I'm not actually a natural performer in the sense that I don't just enjoy it for the sake of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think if I'm going to go through the sort of stress and anxiety of it, I kind of want it to count.
Yes.
Like, that sounds a bit lofty, but
I mean, there's some people that just love getting
love
up on stage.
Doing it,
I've got to get up on stage.
Yeah. Whereas, to be perfectly honest, it wouldn't bother me a great deal if I didn't get on stage.
Yeah.
Like, I like the writing process. Yeah, the thinking process. But I think for a lot of, you know, I weirdly have ended up doing lots of gigs in ridiculous areas like domestic violence and, you know, child abuse and human rights and, you know, things where you wouldn't think
comedy
would work. Yeah. But we both know it does if you
can
do it right.
Sure. Yeah.
And I sort of think it's worth going through all the stuff you go through to get on stage if it also aligns with what you're about.
That's a very good point. And because every gig I've done with you lately has been, we've done like a gig for Playgroup Australia.
Oh, that's
Playgroup
right,
Australia,
yes.
We did a debate.
Yeah.
And we've just done an ALP benefit.
Yeah.
So I think...
And then we're doing Stanmore, Sit Less.
That's right.
Yes.
So you, every gig I do with you, it does seem to involve...
Have something.
Some kind of cause or some good thing.
Oh, that sounds so boring, doesn't it?
But no, I think it's good. I think that's good.
I mean, I try and mix it up. Like, I do... Obviously, when I first started, like I said, I would do, you know, if you asked me to go like big of an envelope, I would have gone. I did literally pretty much every gig I was offered, whether it's pubs and clubs or, and, you know,
that's
your training ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas I think now, I don't know. I mean,
you've had children and you've got to be a bit more selective, I reckon.
I don't want to travel as much
as
I used to. I like to be home.
Oh, yeah, same here. I love a gig where that you can drive to, like I drove to Echuca last night and they're like,
yeah,
to host the local business awards.
Well done.
Some very good businesses up there.
And then you drove home, I bet.
I drove home. Said, we've got your hotel room. I went,
no thanks.
I just drive home.
And I think you and I are similar, like, again, without getting the little violins out, we're family oriented.
We are family oriented,
And I do like to be home when the kids wake up in the morning. So
yeah, it's true. And with my younger son, he used to get to the point where when I put my jacket on to do a gig, he'd go, take your jacket off,
Dad. Off and lipstick.
Yeah, all right.
If I put makeup on, because I never wear makeup, they're like, where are you going?
Yeah.
I'm like, I've been with you all day.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
A lot of parents go out all day.
Oh, I know. That's what I always say to them. You know, Daddy doesn't work in the city.
Yeah. And they're devo because you're going out to do a 10-minute spot.
Yeah, I know. And I say, someone's got to work at some point, guys.
That's right.
If you need the money for the Lego, I've got to go and do something.
You want a scooter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mum's got to go out.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think it's... you know, I try and, in that pure stand-up sense, I try and just do enough to keep my skills up.
Yes.
And then the rest of it, I'm like, if you're going to be a straight, just pure club and pub comic, you have to travel in Australia.
Yeah, that's
or
very true.
There's no way you're going to make a living, and I just don't want to travel that much.
No.
So, you know, I mean, if you can do, you know, corporates, health gigs, whatever it is... I mean, corporate, it sounds like it's BHP. Most of mine are,
you'd be too community stuff.
Women's health, community health, state
like
government.
Playgroup Australia. Like
with you, whatever.
Kinder conference of kinder teachers.
You know, those sorts of things. Like, I love those people.
I know. You know what? They're fantastic. I find teachers, social workers, anyone, they're fantastic because they're supportive.
They're my people.
Yeah, and they just go...
You know?
Oh, I do teachers a lot, and I love to... Because I studied to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And I've done principal conferences... And they are fantastic.
And why wouldn't you? Yeah. Like, they like you, you like them.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, when you're backstage, you would have had this, I've certainly had, oh, you know, if you can't do the so-and-so, blah, 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 then you're not a real comedian and all that. And you just kind of go, well, yeah, says who? Can you do the gigs I do?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's
like...
a different skill set.
Does it have to be... No, it doesn't have to be like
No. These days, it's all about niche.
Do you know where you and I reckon, weirdly, have got something in common? I think it's having that sort of working class background as well. We both hustle.
Yeah, that's right. It's a bit of hustle. That's exactly right.
Like, I am not too proud. Like, if someone says... Oh, you know, actually, we want you to MC, but can you also do the keynote and can you facilitate the last session? I'm like, yes, this is how much it is.
Whereas some
comedians will be like, oh, no, I don't facilitate an MC on the same day. Or I don't do, you know, I don't do that. I'm like, I'll do it.
I will do it, mate.
You know, like, if you've got the money, I'll do it.
It's true.
And
I think it might be a working class thing.
I think it is. It's a strong work ethic. Like, where I used to clean houses. I will clean your house. It'll be the cleanest house you've ever had. And for me, it's the same. And I think it's the same with you. That's why I get work, because I show up prepared.
You're good to work with.
I'll hustle for the work. You know, and if you've got that kind of drive, you're not going to limit yourself to going, I'll only do this particular thing.
Oh, no. I drew the line. They wanted me to do a gig at a farm conference and they wanted me to MC and do a spot. I went, yeah, no problems. And we also want you to spruik at a exhibition for 2 hours.
Yeah, nice.
And I went, I'm not a spruiker. I said, there's no point me spruiking at a truck.
Yeah.
It was a tractor exhibition, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. I'm just going to be some guy yelling in the corner.
Yeah.
I said, I don't mind turning up and talking to people.
That's self-harm.
That's exactly
And we've all done those gigs.
They're not good.
I mean, I left, I don't know if you ever knew this, but I did like... 2-3 weeks on commercial radio and left.
Oh, did you do Perth?
I did.
Yeah, I knew that.
I did, and I did, because that was the trajectory after Raw.
Well,
you're supposed to do this, and then you go to commercial radio and you earn lots of money, and you're done.
What station was it?
Was it 90? God, it's a long time ago.
Was it like the Triple M one?
Was it 92.0? It was Oz Stereo.
Yeah.
And look, I don't know. I'm absolutely not, you know, casting nasturtions on the whole industry.
Well, I remember talking to you about it and saying
But I fucking hated it. Like, I thought to myself, I would rather not work.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I just hated it. And I think coming from the welfare background where you don't earn a lot and also not having come from money, I wasn't afraid to not have it.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, which is another asset as a comedian.
Yeah.
When you're starting out, you kind of have to know how to live poor.
Yeah, it's true.
Or you're screwed. So, I just didn't want to.
But you also, they probably put you with people you didn't know.
Oh, my God. And that's the thing. I'm sure it could be, like, it was a guy called Wacky Luke. And you had to call him Wacky Luke on and off air.
No.
Absolutely.
Wacky Luke.
True fact. And he was, of course, clearly put with me so we'd fight.
Yeah, they do love that at Oz Stereo.
Of course. They wanted us to fight. They wanted him to say outrageous things and me to correct him and be the sort of straight-laced mum.
Yeah.
And even though, yes, I am, you know, I care about things and I'm political and whatever, I'm naturally a conciliator. You know, like I actually do like dialogue and I like people to talk and I like, you know, so I don't want to fight.
That's really annoying.
I certainly don't want to do it for a living every single day.
Oh, no, thank you.
So, you know, having said that, Dave, of course, if you and I were offered a show,
we'd do
it. You know, that's a whole other thing. Like,
we'd have fun. Yeah, well, I always did commercial radio with people that, well, initially that I knew and it was fun.
Yes,
but I came from Triple R, which is community radio.
Yeah.
And even though it was a breakfast show, we just had a lot of fun.
But you had a team as well with people that you were friends with.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you weren't put on as adversaries.
No, that's right.
Whereas it would literally be like putting me on with a young Sam Newman.
Yeah, and saying...
And going, hey, you guys go at it.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm still naive enough to think if I sat down with Sam Newman, I'd convince him to be, you know, a feminist.
Possibly. Who knows?
So
I've met him once or twice, and he remembers your name. He goes, hello, David. How are you?
Do you know who I would genuinely love to interview?
Yeah.
And in fact, I may be doing a series I lost cause.
Yeah.
Kyle Sandilands.
Oh, yeah.
But I actually genuinely would like to interview him.
Look, I've met him, and, you know, he's all right. He's just, I mean, he's an interesting character.
I think his background is absolutely fascinating.
Townsville. He's from Townsville.
Townsville,
isn't he?
Really, you know, humble
very,
beginnings.
Very humble. Oh,
and
yeah.
Don't you know that? And God knows I can definitely be, given, especially given the gigs I do, like if Andrew Bolt's going to write a column about people being PC, like, he could include me. But I also find, when I listen to someone like Kyle Sandilands, yes, of course, sometimes he goes too far and I'm outraged.
Yeah.
There's other times, though, where I think the outrage against someone like him is so confected. And I think what he's actually, his humour is very working class.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
You know, when he's doing sort of tits and ass and there's not malice in it.
Yeah. When you know? I met him, I was working with Dicko, and they were mates, they were judges together on one of those shows.
Yes, that's right, on Australian Idol.
And he goes, Kyle's a bit insecure about comics. Just tell him that he's doing well. Or something like that. I went, what? And he goes, yeah, because he's a bit insecure about stand-ups.
Yeah.
And so, I would watch him.
I've done jokes about him.
Yeah, well, same here.
Yeah.
But I would watch him on that show and laugh at some of his comments.
Oh, 100%.
I think it's pretty funny. Some 100%. Of his comments were funny.
And I remember finding out, do you know when him and Jackie O got the big break on the show, whatever, he was offered, you know, $5 bazillion and she was offered, I think, something like a third of it.
Yeah, that'd be right.
And he marched in and went, that's not happening. Like,
oh, good on
you,
him.
You match, she gets the same as what I get. And again, I thought, how many progressive comedians, male or female, would do that?
Nah. Not me.
Whereas he's this, you know, rough as guts, un-PC, working class bogan going in and going, fuck that.
Yes.
You don't pay her less than me. You know, there's a bit of your money where your mouth is.
Oh, gotcha.
Kind of stuff. So I would love to interview someone like him.
Well, it could happen.
Get onto that.
You never know.
Well, it might. We'll see.
It could happen.
We'll see.
You're listening to The Debrief. I'm with Nellie Thomas. Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app, and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. You're back on The Debrief with Nellie Thomas, having a great chat here. And I've got some questions that I ask everyone.
All right.
Because it is The Debrief.
Hit me.
What went well tonight and why at the gig?
from me or from you?
For everyone.
What went well? I think diversity, range, whatever, the different styles went well.
Oh, the comics.
Yeah. No one was the same.
So what were we doing? It was quite funny.
So it's an ALP fundraiser, but I think, you know, there was obviously, I emceed it, Lawrence Mooney headlined, so he did a character. He did Malcolm Turnbull.
Very funny.
You and Adam and Kirsty, Adam Rosenbach and Kirsty Wiebeck, you all did stand-up, but you've all got quite different styles.
Different styles, for sure.
And then there was a double act. So
some young girls.
And Lil did a double act, very political sort of...
They were good, and they're still at school, those girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, good on them.
Yeah, so I reckon the strength of the gig, from my point of view, was that you didn't have... You know, sometimes you do a gig and you go, I can't remember the difference
between everyone. Look, there's nothing worse for me when I do a gig and I turn up and there's three other guys who are going to talk about being a dad and having kids.
Like, where it's all too similar.
Oh, yeah, and you look and go, oh, I can't do that bit, oh, I can't do that bit, oh, no.
Or you're even struggling to remember whose joke was whose. Yeah. You know,
and you go. And Gary was mentioning having a pregnant wife.
That's right.
Yeah, that's like me. And also, Gary mentioned
Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode. Oh, I love Depeche Mode. Depeche
I knew Mode, you would. Eh? That's why I said it.
Love Depeche Mode.
But I reckon that's the strength. Did you say the same?
I reckon. Yeah, it was a good variety.
Yeah.
And what didn't go well? Do you think?
I reckon that those, and God knows I do a lot of them, and you do too. But often at, I think, quote-unquote, cause, like events for a cause, that you often get at least half the audience would not have been to comedy, or they're not regular comedy goers.
I reckon you're right.
And they're what I think of as like a theatre audience.
Yes.
So even though they're very happy and they would come away from the gig going, oh my God, I loved that, they don't make a lot of noise.
Yeah, and it was a very, there were young people,
yes,
old people, middle-aged people.
So there were some of those, even one of them was Senator Kim Carr. And I was watching him because I've followed him for years and having done a politics degree and da da da.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was watching him a lot, and he's like, he's one of those classic people, like he's a jolly laugher, but he made no noise.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know when someone throws their head back and forth and they like cover their mouth, like they're not meant to be, like maybe it's like he's in question time and you're not allowed to or something.
Maybe.
Or you would be allowed to though, wouldn't you, in question time?
Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way of the gig that hampered us?
I mean, I never like when people sit at tables. I don't know about you.
Yeah, big round tables are hard.
Big round tables, because all the laughter gets sucked up.
And also, they're not facing you some.
They're not facing you. It's more of a quiz night vibe.
And it's a big room, we're in the Thornbury Theatre. It's not really a theatre. It's more like a
hall with
it's a Greek reception centre, I think.
Yeah, with a stage.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some, and so have you though, I had some really good
some
gigs there.
There.
And I reckon tonight was good, but if I personally were going to lay the room out, I would definitely have theatre seating.
Yes.
Or at the most cabaret with little tables.
Little tables.
And I reckon sometimes, especially bloody, you know, fundraisers, I don't think, like, sometimes they think the cause is enough. Where you go, there's actually a science to how you put a show on.
Yeah, exactly. It's entertainment, you know? Guys. It's show business. Yeah.
Like, if the sound's wrong, if the seating's wrong, if the lighting's wrong, if the heat is too hot,
yep,
it's too cold. Like, these things will make a tremendous difference to the success of the night.
Definitely. Well, the last question is how can we do better next time, but I think we've just nailed it.
I would do theatre seating.
Theatre seating. Yeah, theatre seating, when you see that when you go into a gig, you're like, oh, thank God.
Having said that, I reckon for a fundraiser, and I've done a few in that room, if that's our only complaint, because I've done some terrible ones there.
Oh, really?
Oh, you know, where they've gone, Joe from Accounts can do the sound.
Oh, no.
You go, no, mate, he can't.
No, he can't, because it's a very big room.
Like, you've got to get a technician who actually
definitely
knows what they're doing. So, overall...
It's pretty good.
I thought it was good.
Well, we can play a song now, so we should...
Oh, can we play some Adele?
Oh, okay, yeah.
No?
No, yeah, of course we can play Adele. Adele's great.
Let me think something. What about Let Me Think?
What song from Adele?
Oh, no, can we play Chisel?
Play Chisel. What do you want to play?
Chisel.
Don't go but with me.
I'm going with me
too.
And you together.
Okay.
Let's go Working Class Man.
Working Class Man. Now, that was Jimmy Barnes.
Yeah.
It was also written by a Canadian, so I don't like Working Class Man.
Oh, I forgot. I knew
it was written by the
keyboardist
from Journey.
Well, let's do Flame Trees.
Love Flame Trees.
Flame Trees.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
All right. Nellie, well, thanks for coming on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And people can find you. You're fresh on Twitter.
I'm fresh on Twitter and Facebook, Dave. Early adopter. That's me.
And we didn't even get to talk about weight.
Like a couple of months.
Because I heard you doing an amazing interview on ABC about weight.
Being fatty boomba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I am fat.
Oh, shut up.
No, I'm over 100 kilos, but...
Well, I was well over 100 kilos.
Yeah.
Well over. Well into the triple figs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe we need to do a whole other thing.
I think we do. I think we'll do it another time.
Can we do a thing on class and obesity?
Yeah, it is interesting. It is. Well, that...
Because I tell you what, being skinny in a working class family, people just think you're sick.
Yeah, that's funny.
Don't they?
Yes.
Seriously, like, what's wrong with you?
You're all right.
You're all right. You need some Red Rooster, babe. Like, sort yourself out with a barbecue chicken.
Yeah, it's very true. My mum was always obsessed by weight, though. She was always very skinny.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Mum was very skinny.
My mum wasn't skinny, but obsessed with weight. And Ford pills, which is speed.
Oh, Ford pills.
Do you remember that?
Yes,
like, why is mum on edge? She's been necking some Ford pills. And Herbalife.
I think my mum still weighs... Oh, Herbalife. I think mum still weighs herself every day.
Oh, totally. And Light and Queasy and bloody Jenny Craig. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Just
whole
throwing
industry.
Your money away.
Whole industry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Another one?
Oh.
Another potty?
Another podcast.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll
All
work
right.
again. Nellie Thomas, thanks for coming
thanks,
on the debrief.
Thanks, Dave.
Awesome. And follow you on Twitter. What's your handle, man?
Oh, what is it? Nellie Thomas 16. That's memorable, isn't it?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. You'll never forget that.